Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we have open lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. The Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. There's something you'd like to discuss? Perhaps a Bible question that you'd like to pose? Call right now. 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The gospel is very simple. Jesus Christ is alive. He was raised from the dead so that you and I could be raised from the dead spiritually and have new life. I came up with a phrase several years back, first life, then change. It's the process that God works in each and every one of us. I think so often we're looking for self-improvement. We cry out for God, help, help, help on various things. But what he's interested in is bringing us life, giving us new life. We're dead, and that's what we need, life. And so once we have life, then change can occur. And that's what we want to talk about on today's broadcast. What changes have come in your life as a result of being made new in Christ?
Yeah.
How has Christ transformed an attitude? How has he changed your perspective? So if you would like to weigh in on that, we would love to hear from you today. 1-800-677-9377. 1-800-677-9377. It's a great encouragement, I think, to the body of Christ to be able to put some handles, some specifics on how Christ works inside of us. Richard, I know you've seen commercials on television, and you know you've got this protein drink that's going to change your life. You've got this weight loss program that's going to change your life. You've got this, and all of them promise a changed life. And we in Christianity talk about changed lives as well. But that's such a nebulous term, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And especially when you think about it from the perspective of advertising, that's always an outside-in thing. You wear these clothes, you do this makeup, you eat this food, you drink this drink, you play this sport, you're going to be cool somehow. You're going to have your life together. And that can't do anything. It just can't do anything. That doesn't mean that, you know, climbing a mountain isn't a good thing. But if you expect climbing a mountain to fix you, you're going to have a hard life.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're going to be disappointed and looking for the next thing that will fix you. But Jesus Christ really does change our lives, mm-hmm. but he does so in very specific, tangible ways. And so that's what we're interested in hearing on today's program. So if you have a story that you would like to share, we don't want a long, drawn-out story, just something very brief, something very simple to say, you know, I had this attitude, and when I came to Christ, this attitude changed, and now I have this attitude. Something very, very simple, something very appropriate. So join us on today's program.
1-800-677-9377. Lots of time on the clock, plenty of open lines. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Brad.
How you guys doing? Hey, I'll try to make it real quick. I listened to the first hour, first half an hour, and it's ditto with in a lot of respects with what everybody has said so far. What I want to add to the conversation is the fact that what you said, Bob, first life didn't change, and it's not a single thing. Everything in my life now, since I'm in Christ, proceeds from his life. And my perspective on the Bible, on the truth, has turned very much from me, because I was very much in legalism. It was all about what I could do, what I should do, how I should do it, how I should say it, praying the right things, doing the right things, and checking off that list. But the perspective has changed to the point that now I am learning to live by that indwelling life of Christ in the new creation. And I've learned from the Word of God to, you know, how do I live in that rest? How do I make myself available to God to live his life in and through me? And that's by ceasing from my own efforts.
Yes, indeed.
And resting in him, becoming available to him. And God has been faithful. He uses my eyes, my mouth, my lips, my tongue, my hands, my feet as best he can. You know, and that's what's made the biggest change in my life. And I have to say, in June 1987, Basic Gospel started that, you know, the truth that I came to understand, got delivered from legalism. But now I understand it's all God living in me and through me, because he laid his life down for me and gave his life to me. And that's been the greatest, biggest change, learning to rest in him, be available to him, to let him live his life through me. And that's God's eternal purpose from the very beginning, even before the fall.
Yes, indeed. Brad, good words today. And just a reminder of Galatians 2:20, that we've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ lives in us, and the life we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And boy, that's a hard truth to grasp, but once you do grasp that, boy, everything changes.
I mean, well, one thing I learned in living, you know, taking this perspective with Galatians 2:20, when it started out, Paul knew the new life, and he said, I no longer live. That's the old man. And it's Christ that lives in me, and the life that I, the new man, now live, I live by Jesus, or by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And if people can read that Galatians 2:20 with that perspective, the change, first life and then change, is right there and evident in Galatians 2:20.
Absolutely. Well, Brad, thanks for being on today's program. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, let's go to Louisiana and talk with Wayne, listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, beloved brothers in Dallas, Texas. How you guys doing?
Well, doing great. Nice to hear from you.
Hey, Wayne.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Richard?
I'm doing fine, man.
Hey, man, I really got something wonderful to share with you guys, with y'all. Just listening to you and Brad talk, it's just wonderful how the Spirit just confirms everything, because that's what I was going to share with you guys, kind of sweet and simple, that, you know, about 2 years ago or whenever, you know, the Spirit got a hold of me with Galatians 2:20, and, you know, just about like everything what Brad said has been true of me, you know, I mean. And to take it, you know, one step further, in Philippians 1:21, Paul says, for me to live is Christ. And, you know, and for me personally, it was, you know, it's just getting your eyes off of yourself and on to Jesus, and allowing that precious resurrected life that dwells on the inside of us just to come out, you know, like Brad said, to rest, to be available. And, you know, it's, man, guys, it's just so wonderful. I mean, it's you know, words really, really fail you. But, you know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's just allowing us to bring him glory. And, man, I just hope that there's people out there that just get touched by the testimonies that are coming forth over this radio last 30 minutes and hopefully this 30 minutes, because I tell you, just like y'all said, with everything that the world's throwing out there at us, the only thing that can meet the true need of the human heart, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us life, his reward, like Richard said in the Revelations, his reward is himself. He's a life-giving spirit, and that's what we need.
Well, thanks, Wayne. I appreciate that. It's I think what you said there about, you know, no longer looking at yourself, but looking to Christ, that's one of the biggest changes that we experience when we come to know him. You know, before that, the world revolved around us. You know, I tell my kids all the time, the universe does not revolve around you. It's a hard lesson to grasp. But once you come to Christ, you realize that's the truth. You know, years ago, people used to think that the sun revolved around the earth, that we were the center. Those folks are called geocentrists, I think. But that's not true. The world revolves around the sun. God is at the center. And when we recognize that and when we look to him, that's when our lives start to fall into place, so to speak. So one of the big changes that we experience is no longer kind of being self-absorbed. We shift our focus, look outward toward Christ Jesus himself. Well, Wayne, thanks for sharing today. We sure appreciate it.
One other thing real quick, if I may.
Go ahead.
One other testimony that I have, I never had a real stellar relationship with my dad. And I tell you what Christ did in my heart, I mean, me and my dad, we just get along the best we can nowadays. And I tell you, the forgiveness that I have received from Christ, I've been able to extend that to my dad and to everybody that's in my life. And I just wanted to give that little testimony because that, to me, is one, you know, it's just so wonderful, you know, to be able to truly forgive with the love of Christ towards people that really, you know, mean a lot to you and just others, you know what I mean, just people, other folks that need to know Jesus.
Absolutely.
So y'all take care, man. I love you guys. And one other thing real quick, I promise you, y'all have been instrumental in, you know, God using y'all to help me to get to where I'm at. So like Brad said, thank you, Basic Gospel, and may the God of all peace and understanding bless y'all in the most tremendous way in these upcoming days.
Well, thank you so much, Wayne, and God bless you as well. Thanks for calling today.
Yeah.
We sure appreciate
Bye-bye, Wayne.
Hearing from you. Let's go talk to Joe in Massachusetts listening to us on WVNE. Hi, Joe.
Well, thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. You do a wonderful service, and I appreciate it. And I do love you guys for hearing your voices. I have a couple quick things. One way that changed my life was Drive to Stake. I was able to get that from you guys, and I've passed it on to a couple people, and it's helped their lives also. So you're affecting many lives through what you're doing, and God bless you for that. One chapter verse that I can turn to in my mind is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 23, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. And I couldn't say that 2 years ago, but once I accepted the Lord, I can now say that. And I can't begin to list blessings because they're too numerous for me to even try to think of one. The Lord just blesses all who turn to him.
Well, I tell you, Joe, that security, that assurance of salvation, boy, that is just amazing stuff when you really come to that point and know that you know that you know, isn't it?
It is. It's wonderful. And I want to let as many people get on the air today. And thank you, men, and God bless you, and have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Joe. Thanks, Joe. We sure appreciate your great encouragement today.
Indeed, we do. 1-800-677-9377. We've got open lines. We've got some time remaining on the clock. We want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, let's go to New Bedford, Mass, and talk with Tony listening to us on WSDK. Hi, Tony.
How are you, sir? Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to you as well.
Like everyone else, I really appreciate you guys, and I try to listen to you guys every day. I mean, sometimes I'm on my way home from work. I'm on a cell phone, but if I do cut out, my apologies. But my question is, in the book of Revelation, towards the end, when it refers to the white throne judgment, and then I saw the great city, Jerusalem, come out of heaven, adorned as a bride, as a husband. And and then it goes on to say, it goes on to give you the measurements of the city and the breadth thereof, and there's the pearls, and the angels who guard the city, and I just don't understand, because at the end of that it says outside the city are the whoremongers and the idolaters, and I don't understand that, because in my mind I'm like, haven't these people already been judged? I mean, I don't understand why we need a city to begin with to live in when we have a planet, and then what's the city for? Why do we need walls so high and so wide and with guards at the gates, and then outside the city are whoremongers and idolaters? I just don't understand this. I hope you can, maybe enlighten me with, we've all struggled with that. My wife and I will read the Bible and stuff, and my son. And then, I get to the point where, how do I explain this? I don't understand it myself. So So.
Well, Tony, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And I think what John is doing here is bringing a lot of imagery together to describe what, this new heaven, this new earth is going to be like, who's going to be a part of it, who's going to be outside of that. So throughout the Word of God, we see, this idea of the temple. There was a tabernacle. God had given Moses some exact plans on what that tabernacle was going to look like, and they were to build it, exactly the way he presented it to them, follow the blueprint to a T. Then that tabernacle became a temple in Jerusalem. That temple was built a couple of times, and then when Jesus came on the scene, he said, I am going to tear that temple down, and within 3 days, I'm going to rebuild it. And so what he was saying is that the temple represents him. He is truly the temple of God. And so what was the temple representative of? God's earthly dwelling place. So Jesus is the temple of God. And then when we come to him by faith, we are used as building blocks in that temple. So Christ, being the head of the body, we are the body. That together is now the temple of God. That is the dwelling place of God. So this new city of Jerusalem is representative of that new temple. And it's not just a city, with a single location on a map. It's basically this whole thing. We're just so caught up in a little strip of land over in the Middle East, but God's promise to us was the world. And so I think in here we see this. And so, there's those who are inside the city.
Is it a literal city, or is it some kind of, is he trying to describe something? Is it a metaphor of some type?
It certainly has measurements and all of those sort of things. Right. But the real message that he's saying is that this is the dwelling place of God. This is where heaven and earth are coming together as one. And God is going to take up residence there. We are going to be in his presence. He's going to be in our presence. And that's what life is going to be in this new heaven and this new earth. And only those who have washed their robes, who have come to Christ by faith, are going to be citizens of this new Jerusalem. Everyone who has lived in rebellion toward God, who has rejected Jesus Christ, they're going to be outside the city. It's kind of the picture of the garden in Genesis as well.
Right.
Adam and Eve were placed into the garden, and they had fellowship with God. There was a personal, intimate relationship with God the Father. They walked with him daily. They spoke with him daily. And then sin entered in. And what happened to them after they sinned? They were cast out of the garden. And at the entrance to the garden, God put angels there to protect the entrance so that they could not come back in. And so they were only granted entry back into the garden once they received Jesus Christ, the true tree of life. So what John is doing here in the Revelation is just bringing a lot of strings or threads that have been going through the Word of God from start to finish and tying them all together to show God's great plan of salvation for mankind through Christ that enables us to dwell with him forever. And it's going to be in a special place called this New Jerusalem.
Sounds great to me. Well, I thank you so much for clearing that up, because I've been confused about that for so long, and I just don't really, I just never made any sense to me. And I'm like, well, at some point I got to find out what's going on here. And it's, I know, well, no one has the 100% answers how life is going to be and all that. I understand all that. It doesn't change my faith at all. But, try to get some insight as to what's going on, it just helps,
Absolutely, Tony. Yeah. It's a wonderful picture.
It's a powerful picture
of us being in God's presence, and that's our great hope.
Yeah, thank you so much for your ministry, and God bless you.
Well, thank you, Tony.
Because like everyone else, I get so much out of it every time I can listen to you guys, and it's just, I can't tell you, how much of a blessing it is to me.
Well,
thank you so much, and God bless you.
Well, you're welcome, Tony. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of this offer that we have this month, Profiles in Character. So you hang on, okay?
And that's available, of course, Bob and Richard, for our listeners, for a gift of any amount this month. To Basic Gospel, that three CD series, Profiles in Character by Bob Christopher, and we'd like to get it into your hands. Again, for a gift of any amount, you can go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage, or you can call 1-800-727-2828 and speak with our operator.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to El Paso, Texas, and talk with Todd, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Todd.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you. Thanks for taking my call. I'm excited. I just want to preface my question with a short statement. I've been a Christian for over 20 years, and recently I've been challenged in my thinking, because I always felt as if our salvation, in some part, depended on us accepting Christ and what he did for us. And I have some family members that brought up a different point of view with the whole free will and predestination argument. And I'm at the point now where I don't know how I got to where I'm at, other than the fact that I'm here. And the more I try to understand the whole concept one way or the other, I get more confused, because I feel like there's more information that I don't know. And I just come to a realization that I'm at the end of this road, and any steps I take further is going to have to be in faith. That being said, I pray that God give me the wisdom to at least understand or get to a point where I can accept what it is he wants me to believe about the whole thing. And I'd just like to get your all's viewpoint on that. If can God's sovereignty coexist with man's free will?
Well, certainly that is the case. The question is this. Let me kind of change your perspective just a little bit from sovereignty and free will to independence and dependence. God is independent. There's no one else in this universe, and he's in the universe, but he's also outside of the universe. He is totally independent. We are dependent. We were made by him. We were created by him. So our whole life is dependent upon him. He put breath into us. He's provided everything that we need to experience physical life. And in Christ, he's provided everything we need to experience spiritual life and an eternal relationship with God. So when we see it in those terms, we recognize that God has to pursue us, that God has to be the initiator. God has to bring this offer of life to the table. Apart from it, we would just remain dead. So God is the great pursuer. We simply respond, and that's what faith is. Faith is our response to God's truth. And when God's truth, his grace, meets faith, there's salvation. That's what Paul says, for we are saved by grace through faith. That's the story. And I think once we try to, move beyond that, that's when we get confused. So I like to just leave it at that, that God has saved us by grace. It's all of his doing. He took the initiative. We simply responded because of his work through the Spirit, and that's how salvation came to us. Well, Todd, great question. I sure appreciate your words on today's broadcast. Let me put you on hold. You call again, okay?
Thanks to everybody for being a part of this one, and we had several of you that called and shared your testimonies with us, and it was wonderful to hear from you and for you to participate in the broadcast. We hope that many of you will do the same tomorrow as we continue with Basic Gospel and a brand new edition. In the meantime, Bob Christopher's Profiles in Character is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. All you need to do is go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right on the homepage to place your gift and request yours. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828 and speak with our operator. That's 1-800-727-2828. Yours for a gift of any amount, Profiles in Character by Bob Christopher. So for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you for another edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow. Bye-bye.